assistants you've been working with, bringing in with whom you develop the family. I'm down Dick Harrod.
Are you going to be gone?
In a couple of weeks, I'll be on this.
Oh, no, but you'll be with me Monday.
I was going to have Dick Harrod bring him in just so Dick would have some credibility.
Good.
We can both do it if you like, but
well, I think it's better to have both. Because you're going to have to. I would send it to you. It's good not to just be here. It's good to have real economic discussion. So, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
There are times that I just don't want the White House to call.
You're right.
You're trying to get around from that. But there's never no. And we are going to make the time to search that one you can call. And I just want to make sure there are a whole lot more of those than I. As time goes on, that I will want the things done from the outside.
Well, I think that's
all we have from our own office in here. In the campaign, everything was all right. Right now, I'm suffering now. Shoved the political stuff to Bush, shoved up the other stuff. Howard can follow up on things that the rest, but I want you to jump in that whenever there's any doubt, whatever, Chuck, about tying to the White House is stirring up this or that. Put it up to your operatives. If you, that's what you must do to set up an outside capability.
Well, we'll have that, Mr. President. We've got.
Right.
Yeah, I think we'll have a pretty good apparatus on the outside, and Bill Verdi, who's now in, and and Dick Howard, who has worked with me for the past 2 years, are both good, tough, sharp fellows. So we'll work together beautifully.
That's good.
Whitehead is more important to.
Give me on him a brief talking to take us all. I don't want a long one. I mean, all I need to know is what to say.
Well, he's some
stirring works. Worried.
Worried. They're panicked.
Good.
Their people yesterday were calling everybody here.
They're crying. Nobody's taking any calls now.
Well, they're calling talks to them. And
well, that's what we're talking
about.
No.
But they come whining around, you know,
I don't want Lennon, for example, to talk to him, because, you see,
I don't think he has
to. Well, Lennon is tough enough, but he may not know our game. The game is just stonewall bastards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's driving them wild. Really, it's driving them wild. I am convinced that we are now getting better coverage, and I watched it change since the Whitehead speech and some of the other pressures and the two TV shows I've done. They have changed. By God, they're giving us more time. They're putting our coverage up front. They played that unemployment story last night very positively. They've taken things that aren't normally covered by them and covering them. They're really nervous. They're genuinely upset. I did something to them that was very dirty. I tried to explain why it was that television is different than a newspaper, and I couldn't think of a good. Well, it's different because they have a public license.
That's right. Go ahead.
I was trying to think of a way that I could draw an analogy that the general.
See, anybody can start a newspaper if he's got the money.
Yeah.
Nobody can start a television station unless he gets a public license.
Permission from the government.
That's right.
So I tried to think of a reason why, and that's why the Whitehead Bill has to require fairness, and that's why every statute that we've ever.
Right. And also, incidentally, I think my idea that I was going to use for this conference, or I think White House should use, the president. Believes his whole philosophy, as far as the government is concerned, is to spread power and responsibility, to bring power back to the local communities.
Exactly.
And we can say that the president's goal is local ownership and local control.
That's what we did.
Local ownership and local control. And that, of course, gets the Continental Post right in the ass.
Oh.
It hits CBS with its stations right in the ass.
Oh, absolutely.
It hits Time and their stations right in the ass. Local stations and local control.
Absolutely. And it's a
newspaper. What about newspapers? That's a different matter. Because anybody can start up a newspaper. In other words, we're not fighting Hearst or any other newspaper. Anybody wants to conserve it. But as far as the television station, because it is a public license, local ownership, local control.
Well, I was trying to think, that's a marvelous way to put it. I was trying to think of the first show I did, I didn't explain it well enough because it was too technical. But I tried to think the other night on this show I did here that what analogy I could use. And I said, after all, a television company is like any other public utility. I mean, a television network, like any other public utility, like a bus company, for example. Well, that apparently just stuck it to them. I mean, to compare CBS with a bus company sent them up the walls. And apparently their new president was calling Herb yesterday and trying to talk to someone in the White House, because if we think television is like a bus company, I mean, that just, you know, that just gets their goddamn pride. Oh, what a way to say it. Well, it's having its impact, Mr. President. And it's a damn healthy fight, and Simlinger will tell you Monday that the public is very much on our side. That there has been building over the past 3 or 4 years a increasing resentment against the know-it-all attitude of the network commentators. And the public do not like that. They don't like to be patronized. They especially don't like to have someone come on and interpret what you've said after they've seen you the incident. And I think, starting with Agnew and the steady dripping away at this that we've done, may be one of the healthiest and most lasting things the administration may really have broken the back of broken the power, really, of the media itself, the big ones. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
What was your reaction, for example, after talking to Xavier about the Ben Rather's rather interesting comment? I mean, the president never had here. Some of the White House aides thought that since 1962, or not quite that, but and Jesus Christ, nobody else, I didn't see anybody else who wrote that in that way.
No, he makes that up. But you see, Rather.
You see, my point is, my people who saw it, Chuck, know that that's a goddamn lie.
That's right. That's right.
What did you feel like?
No, I agree completely. I heard the thing on Rather yesterday morning when I was coming in the car. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't believe it.
Because
he always does that. But he was just... They're seething out there. They really are seething. My office had yesterday, 12, 15 calls. I didn't take any of them, except one. Clausen told me to. From reporters who wanted to know whether... It was an orchestrated campaign. Your remarks Wednesday, mine on Thursday. Thurman had some yesterday. And were we really going after the critics, and were we really going after the media for how wrong they've been on Vietnam? Of course we say no.
We are.
Of course we are.
But there's no doubt about this.
Oh, no, but you see, the point is...
Well, it's awesome, because they think we should go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Daily. And we're doing it daily. We've had one... pretty good shot across the bow each day. And just keep it up. I mean, it's as long as we can generate that kind of reaction. Because the public believes it. You know, the people are on our side on this one. I'm convinced of that.
What's the situation on, I was going to ask you about, I told Steeple that they said, I wanted a good, thin, crisp packet that is the points about the Vietnam settlement that they can make over the Lincoln Day. In other words, I don't know, goddamn it, we can get somebody to write it in ways that it will, you know, they can basically the congressmen and senators are so damn dumb. You know, they do not know how to utter the flow, except for very few to make the point. But they need a little packet. Maybe they need this business of what the critics want with the generation. Getting the critics and, you know the various points that I was making over and over and over again.
Yeah, the ones you made in the yesterday.
Well, a lot of others too, Chuck. There's a lot of others. But the Royster call, for example, should be,
that'll be in there.
Broadly circulated.
Right.
Who is Paul Greenberg? That was a very good thing I saw this morning.
Greenberg is a syndicated columnist. He's been terrific on many issues. He's very much on our side.
Well, if he's a good guy, let's find out who the hell he is.
Oh, we do, Paul Greenberg. We feed him. He writes...
wrote this whole damn line. It was good.
Well, that's out of the material we sent him. He writes for Philadelphia. I guess it's with a night change, but it's... he does a very good job for us, and has right along. We've got...
No, on the other hand, Zipper tells me that it's true you made good calls, but he said as far as that press conference, if the general reaction of the press was one of, I think. Our major squawks come from the far right and the left here. And this man, Evans, and all this. What the hell's the matter with him? He's a very bright ball. Because he just wants to buy. He's a paper over man, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think that's like Stan Evans, the man judging. They're just the way out, far right, and it's like the Schmitz thing, isn't it?
Yeah. We've had three of them so far.
Yeah.
And that's all. Stan Evans, Logue, and Hempstone. And Hempstone for different reasons. He's not a...
He's not a nut.
He's not a far right winger, but he's a militarist. He's been with us and...
We don't have to have with us all the time. But, let me ask you one other thing while we're going to get back to Vietnam. Will Vietnam try to get a thin packet for them? Who can prepare that? Can you get Buchanan to work on it?
Buchanan's working on it this morning, yes, sir. We had one packet that we distributed at your last meeting. And we'll update it.
It should go to the leaders.
Yes, sir.
And the members of Congress. And it should also go to the head of the circus. It's all right. They're not going to make speeches. After all, they can get it all in their LinkedIn. They can make speeches. You know, they're going to play.
We've been saying it to them. That's one of the things one of these reporters yesterday had
started. Well, fine. That's what we're supposed to do, aren't we?
He picked up a little memo that I sent out to the cabinet and the leadership. That said, here's some points you can use against the opposition. And he was trying to play that into the fact that we're orchestrating an effort against them. The hell with it. It just gets us a little bit.
Right, but they say when he's blocking the bay of babes, orchestrate for Christ's sake, our people around here are just saving their ass.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to get out and do the job.
That's right.
Let me spend a minute on the Watergate. What the hell is the strategy going to be here now? We just haven't got it. All we're doing is just sort of letting them, here's the judge, and I'll say, I hope this, his goddamn conduct is shocking as a judge.
It is.
He's not being, I suppose never on the other side. But what's he bucking for? Is he looking, is he young enough to look for an appointment for a Democrat?
No.
4 years?
No. No, sir, I don't. Sirker is a tough, hard-boiled, law-and-order judge who...
You can't blame him. I'm not blaming him. I just wonder why he's going far beyond.
No, he's a Republican. I know him pretty well. I've been with him at various events, social events.
Right.
Very decent guy, dedicated to you and to Eisenhower. I can't understand what's happened to him. He's been ill. The only thing I can figure is that he didn't... This case just got under his craw for some reason, and he's a hot-headed Italian, and he blew on it. He's handled himself terribly, awful. Refusing to accept the plea. And of course, the odd thing about it, Mr. President, is that the U.S. attorney who's been prosecuting this case is not our guy. I mean, I would imagine he's a Democrat. He's been there since 1964 in the U.S. attorney's office. But I think Sirica figures that he's doing what he's been being told to do.
I mean, I don't understand. Now, what happens? He's trying to keep the Senate into conducting a big investigation. I thank God it's Irvin. You really come down to it, Irvin. At least he's now going to be hoisted by his own petard because he's the great constitutionalist. And if we talk about hearsay and all the rest, if I were going to be a tear hell out of him.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that Irvin's decided what to do. I've talked to him once, and he's very, very reasonable. He says, this fight over separation of powers has gone on for 200 years. It'll go on for 200 more years. He said it's just one of those things that the Congress and the executive are always going to be debating.